The Nakabi Diaries, Season 4.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies. Alhamdulillah, I finally did it. I actually wrote a book. It's dedicated to all the single Muslim mothers out there, hence the name How to Be a Single Muslim Mum. Inshallah, it's available as an ebook, paperback, and it will be available as an audio. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum, sisters, for the support. Check out the link in the description to get yours. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu salam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Season 4 of the Nakabi Diaries. Alhamdulillah, we have with us sister Maryam. Maryam today, she's going to tell us about her niqab journey, inshallah. Sister, could you please introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us a little bit about what you do, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me in your platform. Like you said earlier, my name is Maryam Jai. I live in the Gambia and I am a journalist, but currently I am not working because I'm taking care of my kids and doing business as well. So it's like for now it's motherhood and my business.
Allahumma barik, sister. So sister, could you just give us some background on, you know, some information about your Islamic background? Were you raised as a Muslim, you know, and how did you get to be wearing like the hijab and niqab, inshallah?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I was born a Muslim and raised in a Muslim home, but we all know, like, especially in Africa, I would say Gambia and other African countries, where most of our homes, like most of our parents are not practicing, like they are Muslims, alhamdulillah, they pray, but they're really not practicing the sunnah. And then I grew up in a home like that, where my parents were not, they are not Not like strictly practicing the sunnah. And so growing up, I was not wearing the hijab, like being a child, not wearing the hijab until when I went to my junior school, when I was enrolled in junior school, where we would wear the hijab with our uniforms. And then, like, I was praying, alhamdulillah, I was also going to Madrasa Dara, but then I wasn't actually, because I don't even know if hijab was first upon me. I thought it was a choice. Being a child, I thought hijab was a choice and I was just doing it just for school. Until when I graduated from high school, that is when I just turned 18. And that was the time that I started taking the hijab seriously. And for that matter, I kept saying it's guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I decided one day that, okay, I am going to take this bold step and wear the hijab for the sake of Allah, which was really challenging. And then I've started taking my salah seriously. I decided I have to go back and learn my deen. And that's how, you know, I enrolled myself to one of these local madrasas. And I was taking lectures, know more about my deen and my iman rises, my hijab. And then along the line, eventually, I think after 3 months, I started the niqab as well.
Mashallah, ala mabarak, sister. Okay, so you mentioned obviously you was growing up and you didn't know that the hijab was actually an obligation. You thought it was a choice. So at which point, how exactly did you come to know that the hijab was obligatory? Did somebody tell you, or was you reading or, you know, researching? How did you come to that point where you actually realized that it was an obligation?
Yeah, like I said earlier, like growing up, I thought that hijab, being a child, being that naive child, I thought a hijab was a choice because, like I said, in my home, I was not taught or I wasn't forced to wear the hijab or whatever. So I see it as a choice because I see other girls outside there who wears it and I was not wearing it. So to me, it was just like a choice until one day, one fateful day, because I was growing, I was already 18. And then I'm like, okay, I want to, you know, it was kind of like a God call. To me, I call it guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because on that fateful day, I decided, okay, I'm going to wear the hijab for the sake of Allah. I think this is the right part for me. I have to wear the hijab for the sake of Allah. Like, if I wear the hijab, my life will be more simpler and blah, 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 something like that. And then when I started wearing the hijab, by then I did not know much about Islam, to be honest. I did not even know the rulings of the hijab, because I remember starting the hijab, I was wearing long short sleeves with my scarf. And then a friend, like people will start telling me this is not the right way, like you should not wear the hijab with this, you should not do it like this. And then I was quick to adopt. I was not being ignorant or be like, okay, no, I'm following my desire. No, in my case, when I am being correct, I just change. So it was easy for me to adopt. And then, you know, eventually I see myself doing it the right way. And then, and like I said, as soon as I start wearing the hijab, I also have this thing in me that you have to go and learn your deen to know better. And then whilst learning the Quran and some of these hadiths, I realized that the hijab, it's really, you know, it's compulsory upon me. I came across the verse about the hijab and that it's compulsory upon me that you should not wear it tied, the rulings and everything.
SubhanAllah, I love my barak sister, mashallah, like, that's amazing. So did you know any sisters who were wearing the niqab when you decided that you would wear it also? Did you have like sisters to kind of give you that, I don't know, moral support?
Actually, in the beginning, no. Like, even though the fact that when I start wearing it, I know few sisters who were wearing it, but we were not like close friends. It was like distant friend. And there's this one particular sister who also started it recently when I started wearing the niqab. And the sister will always motivate me. So as soon as I start wearing the niqab, and then I start attending these Islamic conferences here in the Gambia, I get this exposure to sisters, you know, practicing sisters. I join groups, these sisters' associations. And then that's how I pick it from there. So where you would meet a whole lot of niqabi sisters there and hijabis as well. So that also really helped me. But then again, I get to lose friends as well. Because when I started, then like I said, my friends, my old friends, a lot of them would be like, they were not discouraging me, but they were like, oh, now, like, you know, we don't want to feel bad going out with you. And then we are wearing shorts and you are in your long gown will kind of make us feel bad. So I lose a lot of friends, people who want to go, to a point that I even have to write a poem about that, about how it was. It was really challenging in the beginning. To some point, I would even tell myself, wow, this is hard. I hope I'm not making a mistake. It was really hard. Family to criticize me and my parents as well. They were against me wearing the niqab. So I have to go through a lot. But despite all that, I did not give up on my niqab because it was something that I really decided on doing. So there was a point in my during those moments that I would even, because my mom and my dad warned me never to take it, to put it on. And I told them, okay, fine, I will not put it on. So when I am going to school, that is classes, I would put it inside my bag. As soon as I left home, then I would put the niqab on. And then eventually people outside start seeing me wearing it and they would confront my mom that, oh, your daughter start wearing the niqab. And my mom would be like, oh, I heard that you're still wearing the niqab. You know, you are disobeying us and all that. So they went to a point that they realized, okay, this was a thing that I really want and I'm not giving up on it. And I also make a lot of dua that, oh Allah, you are the tuner of hearts. So change my mom and my dad's heart so that they can accept this, because I am doing this for your sake, not for any other purpose. And eventually they just let me be. And that's how everything went.
MashaAllah, sister, Allahu Akbar. So SubhanAllah, like, how I got in contact with you, I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but I saw you on the Gano Did It, you know, his channel, that you had there was an episode with you, and Allahumma barak, I was just really impressed. And one of the things that I remember your husband, he actually had mentioned, was that, you know, how you guys got married. So if you could like tell us a little bit about how you got married as well, because you was wearing the niqab at the time too. And I know that for most parents, when it comes to niqab in their daughters wearing it, especially if they're not married, one of their biggest concerns is that their daughters wouldn't be able to find a husband because they're wearing the niqab. So if you could like talk a little bit about that, inshallah.
Yeah, right. Like, especially my mom's, her one concern was, how will you get married? Like, if you wear this, who will see your face? And I remember always telling her that Allah is the one who gave, you know, who provides a husband. When the time is up, I will definitely get married. So this were one of their concerns. And regarding how I met my husband, we did not meet individually. I don't know him personally, and I've never even set my eyes on him. Neither he haven't also seen me before. So it was this one of my pages in Instagram. You know, I have three pages: my personal page, my business page, and my the ones that I use only to sharing reminders, writing or whatever. So he came across the page one day, and then, you know, according to his narration, he came across the page and joined the page. So eventually, like, he gets, according to him, he get connected through what I always hear about life, Islamic reminders. And then he wanted to know me so bad, but he was scared. He know that texting me wouldn't be the right, you know, the right decision. Like, texting me privately is not right, that I might not like it, or Islamically it might be wrong. And then he went through my full following list and saw a friend of mine who is equally his friend. His friend, and they call each other my daughter, my dad. They were in the same university. So my husband contacted that very sister of mine and asked her, okay, I saw you follow this page. Do you know the person behind the page? And Aisha responded that, yes, she's a friend of mine. And then, you know, so they, and then my husband was interested to know more about me. He did all the findings, or almost half of the findings, through my friend Aisha. And then told Aisha that on how much he is connected to me and wants to know me, if possibly for marriage. So when my friend approached me that there is this particular person, a friend of mine, who wants, you know, who is interested in you, I was shocked. I was like, who is it? Did I know that person? She said, no. Who is he? And Aisha also did a brief intro about the guy. And my interest was the dean. Like, my main interest was the dean. I asked about that, and he told me that he had a very good, like, the dean is intact. He has a good character. That is, his akhlaq is good and all that. So I also asked who about his educational background and questions that I am actually looking for in a man. And he was like, yeah, I know, like, you guys would be perfect match. And the next step was me telling her that, okay, I would see, like, okay, like, you know, I was like, okay, let's see how it will go. Like, I was not taking things seriously. So she get back to the guy that is my husband and explain everything to him. So my husband, because our last conversation was, okay, let him do istikhara and I will do mine. So what if the things, if the answer turned out positive, then we would see how best it would be like for us meeting and all that. And the guy did istikhara, which I delayed mine. But later on, my friend Aisha kept asking me, did how far, which I later did istikhara. And then one day we decided to meet up, the three of us, the guy, my husband, Aisha being the third party, and myself. We decided to meet at a very convenient environment. For the first time. So when we met there, and then now me trying to ask my husband, okay, why are we here and all that, politely, and he explaining everything on how he get interested in me through my page, through my Instagram page, and he want to marry me. And he was like, he proposed that very day that I want to marry you. And I was like, do you know me? But you don't know me, my character and whatever. And he was said, I am just satisfied. I did istikhara, and according to the information that I've get, I did all the investigations about you, and I am satisfied. So I'm here for you to ask me all the questions that you want to know about me. For me, I'm satisfied. And I was mind blown. It was a mind blowing. I was like, wow, this is great. Of all the proposals that I used to receive, this is one of the one that was unique. And then that was, you know, that was very unique. And because first and foremost, he did not even ask about, okay, I want to see you first. Like, he decided to marry me and already made up his mind before even meeting me in person. What if I wasn't handicapped or whatever and all that? So then, you know, we just take it from there. I was like, okay, I would give it a thought. I will go and reason well. Give me some time. And he was like, fine, take your time, you know, and just get back to me whenever you are ready. So that's how I take, you know. And then I was just, like I said, alhamdulillah. So just from there, I went home. It took some months, I would say, or a month before I would even inform my, because on his side, he was ready, and his family were also you know, they accepted me when he approached his parents. So it was on my side that I later mustered the courage to inform my parents. It was a very tough decision because I know, because we are different, two different tribes. So it was really a thing for me. But later I have to muster the courage and confront my parents. And then from there, it was, you know, it was a process before they would accept. But eventually they did accept. And then that's how we got married.
SubhanAllah, that's really amazing, mashallah. And I think you're maybe the fourth or fifth sister that I've spoken to that's had a similar experience with regard to, like, you know, the man, you know, finding the, you know, the sister and not asking to see her face before he decided that, yes, Stephanie's going to marry her, you know, SubhanAllah. So that's like really something. And I think obviously we're not saying that the man doesn't have the right to see your face. Obviously he does have that right. But just for sisters who think that the niqab would stop them from getting married, that this definitely is not the case at all. So inshallah, you can take that as encouragement, inshallah. Carry on, sister.
Yeah, just like you rightfully said, the niqab is not a barrier. That a lot of sisters will have this misconception that, okay, if I wear the niqab, who will marry me? Forgetting the fact that Allah is the one who provides a husband. When you wear it, just know your intentions, because Allah will surely reward us for our intentions. So know your intentions, that, okay, I'm doing this for his sake. He is the provider. Even if you don't go out, I've seen people that will be like, but if you're indoors, I don't know how, or if you're not using social media, how would a man get to see you? And I believe for my case, like I said, I do not know my husband, or we've never met before. But I believe when the time was right, Allah brings a possible way for us to meet, you know, through that social media page, through that particular friend of mine. So the niqab is not a barrier on anything, whether your education, whether achieving goals or marriage. It's not a barrier. If you're doing it for the right reasons, be rest assured that whatever is meant for you would never pass you. Whether traveling, whether marriage or whatever. If it is meant for you and it is written for you, it will surely be yours when the time is up. So sisters out there should just, you know, let them know their right intentions. If you're doing it, know why you are doing it. If you're doing it for Allah, then do not fear anything. If you're doing it for other reasons as well, like I've seen some people who do it temporarily, maybe not wanting guys to gaze at them or whatever, but doing it for the best reasons, and then Allah will always be there for you, regardless.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you 100%, sister, SubhanAllah. It's so true, because, I mean, there's so many opportunities, and the reality is if the niqab does stop us from getting something that we want, then maybe that thing wasn't good for us in the first place, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Especially when I, what you've just mentioned, I've seen a lot of sisters, especially niqabis, after high school, starting university, they have to take off, they compromise because they want to fit in so many things, like they want to travel, they want to achieve certain scholarships, and then a lot of them would end up removing their niqab. For my case, I did face a lot of obstacles, especially when I started working. There are, especially, you know, journalists, you go to different places. So sometimes when I am sent to cover a particular event, and then those people are not comfortable with the, according to their, they'll even sometimes show you that, okay, they are not comfortable as into what you are wearing. I make them understand that, okay, this is my identity. You either accept me this way or I am gone. Like, you just make them understand that this is you, this is your, you are not compromising for this. And then eventually they would accept you that way. So for me in the beginning, a lot of people underestimate me. They will kind of think that I want to do certain tasks, and they will be like, they don't believe in it at first. The impression would be bad. But eventually I proved them I can do it, and I am, you know, I'm good at what I do. So eventually they will accept you that way, to a point that they would even have to identify me. Okay, oh, that niqabi journalist, you see. So they will say, oh, who is Mariama? Oh, that niqabi journalist. So eventually they would accept you that way. But if you don't accept yourself the way you are, especially when it comes to your religion, if you compromise, then you just lose the whole point of it. But if you accept yourself the way you are, tell the world that, okay, this is me. You either accept me this way or you leave it. At the end of the day, if you are really doing it the right way, wallahi, Allah would fight for you. Allah would be the one to support you. So that's how it has been with my kids. And eventually, you know, I get to inspire a lot of people through that. People, especially those sisters who do not have the courage. When they see me out there, they're like, I want to be like you. Now you've also given me the spirit to pursue my dreams with my niqab, to study. And alhamdulillah, in the Gambia currently, we have a whole lot of practicing sisters in the university studying different courses. Some are studying law, nursing, medicine, journalism, and alhamdulillah. So it's great.
Alhamdulillah. So were you still studying when you started to wear the niqab then? And how long, like, was you in the university with it?
Because I started the niqab as soon as I graduate from high school, and I have to go to Tashir, that is School of Journalism, with my niqab. So I was studying with it.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah, sister. So how long has it been that you've been wearing the niqab?
Since 2018, I think is it 5 years now? It's been since 2018 till date. I guess almost to 5-6 years now.
Did you have a little bit of time at all working as a journalist before getting married? Because obviously you mentioned that you're having a break from the journalism because of, you know, raising a family and everything. And mashallah, you have a lovely young family there, mashallah, subhanallah. If you want to talk a little bit about that, that would be really nice.
Yeah, so when I got married, I was still working because, you know, my husband, before I even get married, we made agreement that he was ready for me. He was, you know, in support of me studying and still going to work and all. So when I get married, I was still working, doing everything like my normal life, going for interviews, you know, working stories here and there. And when I was pregnant with my triplets, I was still working. I remember because everything was just alhamdulillah. I was going to work until when I was around 7 to 8 months. 7 to 8 months heavy. That was the time I decided, like, I need to rest because the load was too much for me going up and down. So I decided to take maternal leave. And then when I gave birth later on, I think almost a year I was at home, because normally maternal leave is 6 months, but for my kids, because there's three babies, I decided to take maybe nine, almost a year off. So I was doing a lot of, after 6 months, I was doing some of my works at home, like write my stories at home and then share it online. But then afterwards, it was still, you know, I have a handful. I decided that for now, I don't think I can go back to work anytime soon because I'm still struggling with three, you know, three littles. It's hard coupling that with work. And then along the line, whilst taking care of these triplets, I have this idea of starting my business. That is the business that I am currently doing. You know, so doing that business with the kids, I was like, for now, for my mental health, I want to pause my working career because it will be hard, you know, with three kids and going to work. But later, maybe next year, inshallah, next year, I would consider going back to school and then continue my career as a journalist, inshallah. Maybe by then the kids will be 2 years and they would start Islamic.
Allah, like, Allah have a barak, sister. Mashallah, you had triplets. And I remember, like, seeing mashallah, your family on the, you know, Dano did its channel. So alhamdulillah, that's really, really nice. But obviously you're so busy and you really do definitely have your hands full, obviously, subhanAllah. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about your business as well, because obviously that's something that got started because of your situation, having a new family and everything. So tell us about your business. Like, what is it exactly? What do you do? And, you know, where did you get the idea from?
So, yeah, like I said, my business came as a result of my kids, as a result of, you know, having babies for the first time, taking care of babies. And then eventually I get lost in their little world because every day the process repeats itself. Like, you change diapers, you know, you wash them, you feed them, you wash their bottles. And then every month or once in a month or twice in a month, you go shopping. at baby centers to buy items for them. So this was a routine for me. And then eventually, you know, I fall in love with shopping baby items, changing diapers, using different baby essential care. You know, I build this passion, even though I love kids. At a very initial stage, I love babies a lot. And then having my own babies, taking care of them, getting lost in their little world. One day I decided, like, okay, I would want to do, you know, because I use their, we buy diapers a lot. And then the main idea of Mariamin Baby Gift came from using their diapers. I one day used their diapers and then package it. I was like, wow, this would be perfect, because diaper was the high demand for me. I remember my friends, whenever they are coming to visit me, they will be like, Mariam, what can I get the babies? What would you like? And I'm like, I'm always like, get us diapers, because we use diapers. Even if we buy in bulk, eventually the diapers finishes. So I'm always like, no, get us diapers, either size 3, size 4, just get us diapers. And then I'm like, how many models? Like, so that's how the idea of Mariamin came from. So, and one day I was like, I can do a business about these diapers thingy, but, you know, crafting them. But then again, I'm like, a lot of people, like, are selling diapers. They have baby centers. They have baby shops, rather. So who would buy from me? A busy mom, you know, who is at home? Who would leave these baby shops and come to shop from me? I was like, now I would do, because I visit a lot of baby shops in the Gambia here, and I want to do something different from what they are doing. So I decided to, like, okay, I can buy from them, and then to attract customers and then change it to something creative would be so different from what they are doing. And that's how I decided. I use my babies, some of their items. I designed everything, packaged it well, and it was very cute. So when I just shared the sample, that was just for a start. I shared the sample and the feedbacks were very, very great. And I remember that very day, I had an order. Someone was like, can you make this for me? Because I have to visit my friend who has a baby. And I was like, wow, then this is great. That's how the whole idea of my business came about. So I packaged my first baby gift. I shared it on social media. The next person ordered, someone ordered again. So this is how my business came about.
Mashallah, sister, mashallah. That's really, really fantastic, alhamdulillah. So how is it going anyways, having 3 babies and running a business? I mean, most sisters wouldn't even attempt to start something like that at this time.
Yeah, it was not really easy, because normally, because I started the business when they were, I think, around, when they started sitting and crawling. So it was daytime, I cannot package. Like, now it's better because they're working more of independent, like currently they're outside playing. So maybe when I have order, I just have to put my stuff on a table so that they will not be able to, you know, to reach them. But then in the beginning, I have to wait for them to you know, to sleep, maybe at night when the 3 of them are all sleeping. Then I would peacefully package my orders and then get them delivered the following day. So it was not very easy. And because motherhood alone, we all know, it's a whole lot, you know, taking care of 3 babies at the same time and then business here and there. But, you know, it was a thing that, you know,
definitely.
Because definitely. So I was sister. Like, I have to do this.
Even one is a handful, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So it was not very easy, but alhamdulillah, you know, I keep pushing, and then especially when clients are satisfied with what I am doing and I'm having more orders in. So this pushed me, you know, I build passion for it, and then always giving my clients the best. Even though we are still operating at home, but inshallah, you know, as the business grow, we would have our own space, and then we would hire, you know, people to do the job. And then maybe I would focus on my career and other things as well.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, so I wanted to ask you more about the niqab as well. Is it something that you would say is, like, worn quite a lot in Gambia? Like, is it common to see other niqabi sisters around, for example?
Yes, before, growing up as a kid, it's very hard to see young girls wearing the niqab. But this current generation, like 2019, 2020, you know, going upward. Now we have a whole lot of sisters wearing the niqab, but before it was very hard. Before we just have this, it was just few people, few you know, few religious people wearing the niqab. But now, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of young girls wearing the niqab. You know, you wear the niqab, you are out there, and then you see someone being a young girl being motivated, and then wearing it. Now it's many. You see a lot of people wearing the niqab, so it's a great. It's great. You see a whole lot of people wearing it compared to before. Before, it's very hard to walk and see a young girl wearing the niqab. But now you see a girl, you know, 10, 13, 14 wearing the niqab. More of teenagers now wearing the niqab, which was very rare to see.
Wow, mashallah. So would you say that there's sisters, like, do you know of sisters, for example, who they really want to wear it, but maybe they're not allowed to wear it because of their parents, like having concerns about them not being able to marry or study and things like that? Would you say there's a lot of sisters who do want to wear the niqab?
Yeah, I have a lot of young people, especially those who look up to me, who reach out to me that I definitely want to wear the niqab, but then my mom or my dad is not allowing me. And basically, I have a very close friend who even recently now started wearing it. She's like a family now. In the beginning, when she started wearing the niqab because of seeing me wearing it, and she get motivated. But after she faced a lot of difficulties from her mom, you know, her mom was just telling her to take it off to a point that she has to take it off, but was still wearing the hijab. And then I was still, you know, telling her that, but, you know, just continue it. I've been through this phase. You know, I've been through it. It was hard, but you see, I keep it up. But I think she was not that very strong to keep it up. And eventually, after 2 years, she recently decided that, okay, you know, she's going to, you know, to start wearing the hijab regardless. I remember she was telling me that I know my mom wouldn't like it, but this time around, I promise I would not remove it. And my last words were, it's going to be hard. I know she would criticize you again, but just keep it up. Eventually, Allah would, you know, would change her heart or her mind, and she will just let you be.
Alhamdulillah. So, have you met any sisters who've been forced into wearing the niqab?
Like for instance, a lot of these brothers, practicing brothers, or some of them, I've seen sisters that they were not wearing the niqab, but as soon as they get married, their husbands, you know, command them to wear the niqab, and then they just take it from there. And a lot more, like, you will see sisters who wear just normal hijabis, and as soon as they get married, their husband would want them to wear the niqab, and then they will start wearing the niqab.
Subhanallah. Yeah, I do hear about that as well, because, I mean, yeah, it's interesting, I suppose, like, that's the thing, like, some sisters say, is the husband allowed to make them wear it? And then as well, some husbands want their wives to wear it, but they don't want to push their wives into wearing it. So I suppose it depends, like, between, like, you know, husband and wife, how, you know, what the wife will agree to, and what the husband is, you know, how much he's, you know, like, kind of really wanting her to wear it as well at the same time. So, and then there's the issue of whether people see it as being obligatory or not as well. That's another thing too. What would you advise any sister who is really wanting to wear the niqab, but she doesn't feel the confidence to wear it?
Yeah, let them, like, first and foremost, know why you want to wear it. Are you doing it for Allah? Because it's very, like, in the beginning, Allah will test you. This is my own experience, like, when I first started wearing the niqab, because you will feel like, okay, I'm, like, in the beginning, you would face difficulties because it's something new, you know, having people having to see you covering your face for the first time. Sometimes the comments are not very overwhelming. There are people that would still criticize you, and you still have some that would cheer you up or congratulate you. So if you want to wear it, and so to any sister out there who wants to wear the niqab, but they're not very confident about it, let them, you know, just know that why you want to do it, for the sake of Allah, and know that it's rewarding. And once you do it, some are like, if I wear the niqab, I will not be able to properly breathe, or maybe my eyes will hurt. Those are just, it's not true. Once you start wearing it, eventually you will feel comfortable in it. And then you would come to realize how simpler your life would be. this is my own experience. Because when I start wearing the niqab, life, my life was more simple. And then you are free from, okay, going out and wearing the makeup here and there. So let them know, you know, doing it for the sake of Allah, Allah will help you through. Allah will help you to overcome the challenges. But if you want to do it because your friend is doing it, eventually, when you see or when you're about to attend another event, you would definitely remove it. So I would tell them, do it for the sake of Allah. Know that hijab, you know, sorry, the niqab, some might see, you know your reasons like best, know your reasons best why you are doing it. If you're doing it for the sake of Allah, do it the right way and Allah will help you. And it's very rewarding. So to some sister that might not know, the hijab is rewarding, but wearing the niqab more, it's because it's more difficult than the hijab. So it's rewarding as well. So you do it for the sake of Allah, Allah will definitely reward you. And don't be scared that, okay, I want to wear the niqab, but then my school, I might not have certain opportunities to travel. Of course, you will travel if travel is reaching for you. You would go to, you will attend certain scholarships if it is meant for it. If it is meant for you and it is reaching for you, so do not let those things stop you. If you really want to do the hijab, if you really want to do the niqab, just go ahead. Seek Allah's guidance and just go ahead. And inshallah, everything will just be fine. And eventually, you would fall in love with your niqab.
Inshallah, inshallah. So you mentioned about traveling there. Have you done any traveling while wearing the niqab?
No, in my case, no. But I've seen, I haven't traveled yet, like by air or boat. But though I do travel, like, you know, within the Gambia, this long distance and all that. But by flight, no. And I've seen people that they're scared going for interview. They don't want to go. Because according to like some of my friends or, you know, sisters who relate to that, that they have to use the face mask and not the niqab. And I've seen people traveling, not using the niqab. They would use it for a face mask. But I kept saying, if it is me, I will still go with my niqab. And I will just have this in my head, at the back of my head. If it is meant for me, I will surely have it. If it is not meant for me, then I would, then it will not happen. So this is my mindset, and I kept advising every niqabi sisters out there, if you're traveling, you know, just go with your niqab, maybe to some occasion for identification. If they want to see your identity, okay, this is their rules, you just comply and just assure them that, okay, behind the niqab is not a bad person or whatever, and then you just continue with it, but don't completely remove it because you just want to fit in or whatever.
Alhamdulillah. So you mentioned about like people making comments and things like that. Have you ever faced any kind of abuse for wearing the niqab?
I've never faced physical abuse, but yeah, emotionally, you would see people would kind of, through words, yes, people would be like the ninja, people would teach you out, or sometimes you would go to a particular place, a particular environment where you are not fully welcome because of the way you are dressed, and someone would clearly see it in your face, that thing on your face, you know. Because one time I experienced this where someone have to, you know, to send me back or not want me to attend that particular event because the guy, and he's a Muslim, he just disliked, he's not following the sunnah, I would say, but he just disliked the way I was dressed. I was like, no, we cannot trust her with that. No, because who is we are not seeing the face, because the guy was expecting me to lift. Yeah, the guy was expecting me to lift up my niqab, and me knowing that I was in the midst of non-mahrams, I was like, no way, I'm not showing you my face. So this is my press card. I'm showing you my identity. I'm from this place. If you're not still comfortable. And I was even complying, you know, I was even negotiating that you can call my boss for, you know, to be more trustful. But in telling me to remove my niqab, I'm not doing that. And so I have to leave that place because, you know, I'm not welcome. So why would I be there? And then they have to do a replacement and send another reporter to go and cover the event. And I was fine.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, do you feel that sisters who wear the niqab get treated differently from sisters who wear the hijab?
Absolutely no. Maybe sometimes someone might feel more comfortable, especially those that are not I'm practicing might feel more comfortable seeing that, okay, I'm seeing, I would say that they treat us differently when it comes to work, when it comes to, let me say, I would say maybe work or opportunity. And someone who is not practicing the sunnah probably might feel like giving it to someone. He or she is seeing the face, and rather than being like, okay, but I'm not seeing her face, why would I give it to her? Or sometimes people will be like, I'm not seeing your face, how can I even trust you? Or how can I even be sure that the one I am speaking to is really you? You know, things like that. So in that aspect, yes, they can treat niqabi and hijabi differently when it comes to that aspect. But aside from that, I would say no. I haven't encountered such. Maybe some do face that or might realize that. But in my own case, no.
Okay, alhamdulillah. And finally, sister, what does the niqab mean to you?
Yeah, to me, my niqab is my friend. Like, I can't go without it. And then over and over, if anybody wants to stand between my niqab and them, I would choose my niqab over and over and over. Because before even I met my husband, it was my niqab. And after him, you know, before he came, it was my niqab. So my niqab means a lot to me. And then, because this was a thing that when I was wearing it, I did not see a particular sister wearing it, and I desired to wear it. I wear it, you know, for the sake of Allah. And then for that being the case, when I eventually learned my deen, I realized there are a lot of, you know, hadith talking about where some scholars could relate it to being compulsory, and some sees it as a choice. Even though it's compulsory that every sister should wear niqab, but the fact that I am wearing niqab, I've taken it upon myself for it being compulsory upon me, and then not compromising with my niqab, especially when it comes to do with non-mahrams. I don't compromise with my niqab because it's my identity as a Muslim woman. My niqab, it's my identity. And it has, the niqab have really helped me in the way I comport myself. I cannot, when I started wearing the niqab, I have to stop a lot of acts. In terms of, let's say, the way I comport myself, you know, you cannot mingle with, even the fact that you think that you have, you might think that maybe before I get married, you have non-mahram colleagues, but wearing the niqab have made me realize that, okay, I cannot even be a friend with a guy. Or sometimes I'm like, how can I wear the niqab and be mingling with a guy? But to me, I would say it's immoral, it's not modest. So the niqab have really helped me. It changed my life. It changed my lifestyle, the way I think, because I cannot even imagine myself wearing the niqab and be arguing with someone on the street, or be shouting, or be laughing out loud. So the niqab, I would say, means a lot to me. It's my life, because today I know even if I am dying, if not inside my room, and if I am to die outside, then it will probably be me, you know, dying with the niqab on my face. So the niqab is just everything for me. I don't compromise with it when it comes to the niqab and its condition. Salima.
Alhamdulillah, sister. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barak. Mashallah. Tabarakallah. So beautiful to have been able to speak to you today, finally. And I know you're a very busy lady. Alhamdulillah. You've got your lovely kids there. Mashallah. Enjoying themselves, I can hear. So alhamdulillah. Thank you for giving so much of your time today. I really, really appreciate it. And for those people listening as well, she has the other interview on Gano Did It channel, which is a Gambian YouTuber. So inshallah, if you want to, you know, see or hear more from Maryam, then inshallah, you can see that interview with her. So you look for her on his channel, inshallah. It was a really, really nice interview. Alhamdulillah. So barakallah feekum, sister.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, sister. Thank you so much.
Oh yes, and I also forgot to mention, the sister does have her Instagram channel, her Instagram accounts, a few of them, I think. So sister, could you give us your Instagram account so that we can, inshallah, put them in the description box so that inshallah, if anybody wants to follow you on there and see or you know, get in contact with me for your, you know, business and stuff like that, then inshallah I'll be able to access you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sister. It's really been a pleasure. Take care and have a beautiful day, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.